الله الذي أحسن كل شيء خلقه وبدأ خلق الإنسان من طين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is none to guide aright. A little disclaimer here before we begin, inshallah. This is going to be the most boring khutbah that I will ever give. So I'm just giving you a heads up. But inshallah ta'ala, it will probably be one of the most informative ones, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So basically, this is the time of the year when people start to talk about the different madahib because of Ramadan and moon sighting, Taraweeh, and so on and so forth, and people start to fight. In some masajid, they have issues. And in some homes, the father will be fasting today, and the mother will be having Eid, and so on and so forth. You know, so they have issues, even at homes, because of differences between the different madahib. So I remember 2 years ago, I put together a conference here about the four madahib and the four imams, Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, Malik, and Ahmad. And we spoke about why we have the four madahib and their legacy and what we can learn from them. And the reason why I put that conference together, we call it the Anatolia Motivation Conference, is because I gave khutbah one day and I mentioned Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, and after the khutbah one brother came and he said, I don't like all those imams. And I said, why? He said, because they disunited the ummah. One says haram, one says it's okay, one says wajib, one says mustahab. It's a big mess, it's a big confusion because of these imams. So this is one extreme. The other extreme, some people love those imams so much that they put their word or their opinion above the word of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. You give them hadith in Bukhari Muslim, this is what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, they say, no, but my mother, my imam, ya ammo, dude. Like if I tell you Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says this, then this is the end of the discussion. So people go to extremes. One extreme, in some of the students of the different madahib, when they reached what I call at-taraf al-fiqhi, they finished all the practical issues, they started to think about fictional issues, like when we'll live on the moon, which way the qibla will be, and so on and so forth. Fictional rulings and so on and so forth. Some of the ulama in those times, the mutaakhirin, they said that someone from the Shafi'i madhab cannot marry a woman from the Hanafi madhab. Wallahi, in some of the books of fiqh, like, this is crazy. Why? Because they say in the Shafi'i madhab, you can say, ana mu'minun inshallah, I'm a believer inshallah. In the Hanafi madhab, this is not acceptable. If you say inshallah, I'm going to be mu'min inshallah, it means you are not mu'min right now. We can't marry you, right? So this is nonsense. Some even say that when Isa alayhi salam comes, fi akhir zaman, he has to follow the Hanafi madhab. Otherwise, this would be mushkila kabira, right? He would not be Hanafi, he would be Muhammadi, he will follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he would not follow a particular madhab, come on, right? So again, people use the madhab to fight with each other. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about why do we have four madhab? Which madhab to follow? Why do they disagree with each other on the same issue? Because this will make a lot of sense to you, and it will help you deal with any conflict or disagreement that might arise with another Muslim, inshallah ta'ala. Why do we have the four madahib? To start with, the Islamic history was filled with great ulama. We don't only have Imam Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, Malik, and Ahmad. We have great ulama. Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, Al-Awza'i, and so on. There are so many ulama. Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim. These are huge giants, right? But why did Allah choose only these four, right? Why not? Like, so the thing is, and I always say when I explain this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created different Qurra al-Qur'an, right? The famous ones. In my humble opinion, I think Mustafa Ismail, no one recited the Qur'an better than him, before him or after him. He's a famous Egyptian Qari, right? Mustafa Ismail. He passed away in 1978. In terms of maqam, in terms of tilawah, in terms of rulings, ahkam, and so on and so forth. How come that some people are a little bit below him, like Minshawi, like Abdul Basit, Abdul Samad, they are more famous than him. They are more loved than him. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah created everyone, and He chose these two to better than the others, even Mustafa Ismail, right? Allah chooses. Allah chooses. He chose them. خلاص, alhamdulillah. Allah created many scholars, and He chose these four to be the best, even if some others had the same qualifications. Alhamdulillah. Number two, these ulama, they had some dedicated students, and this is the key here. So their students, they learned the knowledge, they compiled their teachings, and they taught the teachings to others. Other ulama, they didn't have these dedicated students, right? And number three, because those ulama, in particular, subhanAllah, they were very sincere in seeking knowledge and teaching knowledge. And when you read their stories, they ended up in jail, they were tortured, they were punished. The reason is because they didn't want to speak injustice. They didn't work for tyrant rulers, and so on and so forth. Or somebody else was jealous of them, and they reported them to the authorities, and they put them in jail. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, one of the greatest scholars of all time, he was beaten in jail so much that he couldn't lift his hand in salah. He always prayed like this because his shoulders were broken. And this is why many in the Maliki madhab, they put their hands like this. They think this is the madhab of the imam. The thing is, he couldn't raise his hand. Imam Shafi'i was about to be executed, right? And so on and so forth, because they spoke the truth, they didn't want to work for tyrants, they ended up in jail. They were abused, but they spoke the truth. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them. In our times, those who speak the truth, they end up dead, or in jail, or in exile, right? But we still have some who, we call them the scholars for dollars, or dolarat tubih al-mahdurat, and so on and so forth, right? So, these things exist in our time, they existed back then. Some of the rulers are tyrants. I'm not going to mention names, but you know it, right? An American journalist traveled to one of those countries, tyrant countries, and she did an interview with the president. He had been in power for like 40, 42 years. Bahi. So, she was asking him, she said, there is no democracy in your country. He said, why? She said, because in my country, America, ممكن تلعن أبو ترامب. Anyone in the street, they can cuss at Trump or Vladimir Putin, and no one says anything to them. They don't go to jail. He says, wallahi, we do the same thing here. Anyone in my country, they can cuss at Trump, they can cuss at Vladimir Putin, they never go to jail. We have democracy too, right? So this is the logic, right? So the four ulama, the four imams, the greatest of all time, they suffered too in their time. How come that we only have four? As I mentioned, Allah chose them. And why do they disagree on a certain issue? Like, let's say, the number of raka'at for taraweeh, and where do you move, like, how do you move your finger in tashahud and so. So we need to understand that these four ulama, they never disagree on the usul. They never disagree on the pillars of Islam. Like, Imam Abu Hanifa never said that Maghrib is four. Imam Shafi'i never said Maghrib is five. No. The five pillars of Islam, the six articles of faith, are all the same. They disagree on furu', like the branches of knowledge. How to move your finger, where to put your hand. If Imam Shafi'i, Malik, and Ahmad said, for zakatul fitr, it has to be food. Imam Abu Hanifa said, no, you can pay money. So these small issues, but on the usul, they never disagree. If there is a proof in the Quran, they don't disagree. If there is a clear ayah in the Quran, they never disagree. The only exception is, if there is a word in the Quran that has different meanings, and this is common in the Quran. One word will mean the opposite. وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكٌ سُرْتَ كَفْ يعني كَانَ أَمَامَهُمْ and so on and so forth. وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ قُرْ in Arabic could mean حَيْضْ أَوْ طُهْرْ قُرْ. It could mean a state of purity or a state of impurity. The opposite in the ayat of Talaq in Surah Baqarah, right? So this is why they have different opinions. When it comes to hadith, this is the key to disagreement between those ulama, right? So we need to understand that the major collections of a hadith, like Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Abu Dawood, the Tabaranis, these collections existed after the four imams, which means in many cases they would look for a ruling, they can't find a hadith. Of course they had some hadith, but they didn't know all the hadith. So they would make an opinion, but it turns out later that the Prophet ﷺ said something else, right? So I will tell you what to do in this case, inshallah, at the end of the khutbah, bin Allah ta'ala. Also, sometimes they disagreed on the authenticity of the hadith. One alim says this is an authentic hadith. They based their judgment on this hadith. Some says it's weak, I'm not gonna take it, I'll do something else. Or they will disagree on their understanding of the hadith. If the Prophet ﷺ says, if'al wa la taf'al, if he says, do this, some of the ulama will say, well, the Prophet ﷺ said, do this, it means fard, you have to do it. Some say, no, it's mustahab, like this is something he recommended, but it is not fard. If he says, don't do this, it could mean haram, or it could mean makruh, something he didn't like, but it's okay to do. I'll give you examples. If the Prophet ﷺ said, pray like me, pray five daily namaz like me. 2, 4, 4, 3, 4. Right? The five daily namaz. You have to pray this way. This is fard. If he says pray this way, this is fard. If he says use miswak before salah, is this fard or something mustahab, like recommended? Tell me. Recommended, right? If the Prophet ﷺ says men should not wear gold, haram or makruh? Haram. If he says, when you drink, don't stand up, haram or makruh? Makruh, tanzih, right? It is not haram in this case. Because otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ himself, sometimes, a few times, he drank while standing up, this is in Bukhari, and he said, when you relieve yourself, you go to the washroom, sit down. This is what he did 99.99% of the time. There's a hadith in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ relieved himself, urinated, standing up. Just one hadith, he did it once to prove to us that it is not haram, right? So the ulama look at these opinions and these hadith, and sometimes they disagree on the understanding of the hadith. Is it wajib or mustahab? Is it haram or makruh? And so on and so forth. And this is why the ulama have difference of opinion in these cases. And of course, another application is eating the camel meat. Some say wajib wudu, some say mustahab, and because of this, the hadith that I mentioned. Of course, this will, the application will come, for example, to if you come at the times in which salah is makruh, like after Fajr, before Dhuhr, 15 minutes, after Asr, in the Shafi'i madhab, it's okay to pray, because the Prophet ﷺ prayed sunnah in these times, and so on and so forth. For Taraweeh, the Prophet ﷺ himself never prayed more than 11. So if you follow this madhab, alhamdulillah, this is in Bukhari. If you follow the Hanafi madhab, you do 22, alhamdulillah, this is amazing. It's a special time, you can pray more for more hasanat. If you follow the Maliki madhab, good luck. You can pray 36, right? So again, it's up to you. You can, if you want to leave early, pray 4 rak'ah, leave, alhamdulillah, no one will shoot you. If you want to pray 70, it's up to you. It is optional in this case. And the ulama say, لا في مختلف في. You should not make a'tirad, you should not protest. لا إنكار في مختلف في. If you disagree with someone on a fiqh issue, don't fight with others because all of them are acceptable. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he was born the same year that Imam Abu Hanifa passed away. And he said, الخلق عيال على أبي حنيفة في الفقه. All the scholars of Islam are dependent on Imam Abu Hanifa. This is Imam Shafi'i. He said, all the scholars of Islam, they are like students in the class of Imam Abu Hanifa. We honored him. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he said, wallahi, 40 years, every night, 40 years, I am making dua for Imam Shafi'i every night. 40 years. So they loved each other, they showed respect to each other, but now, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah, people fight with each other because of difference of fiqh. And I mentioned, Taraweeh is coming, mashallah, we'll hear fadaih, people will fight. And I think I mentioned the story, like 3-4 years ago, there was a masjid in Houston, Texas. One imam told the story that there was a new masjid, you know, first night of Taraweeh. They had a disagreement. So the 11 rak'ah Muslim, they said, no, we want to pray 11 rak'ah, go home, eat shawarma. The other one said, the 22 rak'ah, they said, no, we'll pray 22, then we can eat biryani when we go home. Then they had a big fight in the masjid, first night of Taraweeh. They started to fight with chairs, baseball clubs, weapons of mass destruction, you know, in the masjid, and the people were crying, and people were falling and bleeding on the new carpet. Someone wanted to stop the misery, so he called 911. Three police officers came in with their shoes. They don't know. So the 11 rak'ah Muslims, the 20 rak'ah Muslims were mad at the police and they said, you have no respect for the house of Allah? You walk with your shoes? But fighting with the chairs in the masjid is okay? Come on, dude. So we need to accommodate each other. If you want to do your 8, pray 8 and go home, do witr at home. If you want to do 22, alhamdulillah. We need to accommodate each other, respect each other, just like our ulama, Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, Malik, and Ahmad, they had respect for each other. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله ربه رحمه للعالمين. So basically I'm Hanafi in madhab. I'm from Al-Azhar. Everybody studied the Shafi'i madhab. I don't know. They told me study the Hanafi madhab, so I did. And alhamdulillah it came in handy because most of my jama'at, they fought from India, Pakistan, Turkey, they follow the Hanafi madhab. So alhamdulillah that was good for me. Alhamdulillah ta'ala. But I don't object to other madhahib. Like I look, in any case, I look at the different madhahib. If Imam Abu Hanifa has a strong proof from hadith, I follow him in this particular case. If in another ruling, Imam Shafi'i had a stronger hadith, I follow him in that case. And so on and so forth. So I follow all of them because at the end of the day, these four great imams, they are like streams from the same river. They, all of them, they are the students of the Imam of the Imams, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they follow his sunnah to the best of their ability, walhamdulillah. Two quick announcements in 1 minute before we start the salah, inshallah ta'ala. So inshallah, as I mentioned last Jum'ah, alhamdulillah, the masjid is packed, we have issues with the parking, so the 1:30 Jum'ah would be the same, 2:30 Jum'ah like this one would be the same. We'll be introducing a third Jum'ah at 12:15. And the Prophet ﷺ, as I mentioned, in Bukhari and Muslim, he prayed Jum'ah before Zawal, before the time of Dhuhr. So you can pray it 1 hour or a little bit more before Salatul Jum'ah. It's totally acceptable in Bukhari and Muslim. The Khulafa did the same thing. Especially in the summer when it is hot, the Prophet ﷺ would pray before Dhuhr to make it easy for people to sit in the shade and listen to the khutbah. So starting next Jum'ah, after a week inshallah, we'll be introducing a third Jum'ah at 12:15, which will be good for many of you, especially if you take your lunch break at this time around 12. So you come here 12:15, and the khutbah will be about 15 minutes, then you will leave inshallah ta'ala. The second announcement, I'll be taking a Hajj group by the end of July inshallah. Only 15 spots are left from our Jama'at, so if you are interested, let us know, inshallah. You need to register before Ramadan. Only 15 spots are available. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, give us the best in this life. And ask Allah to bless us in Ramadan. We ask Allah to accept our good deeds, forgive our sins. Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli allahumma ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa akhir misalaam.